The following episode of FOFOP is classified MA. It contains some coarse language, some nudity, drug references, a sex scene, time travel, terrible Batman impersonations, a Charlie Clausen pronounced Clausen-shaped hole, and mild coarse language. FOFOP advises that the program is not suitable for persons under the age of 15, and minors must be accompanied by an adult guardian or priest. This is John Deake speaking.
Everyone relax, this is FOFOP. Ironically, I'm not relaxed.
Hello and welcome to FOFOP, I'm Will Anderson. Returning guest Charlie Clausen, Graham Elwood is here. Hello.
Hello.
It's good to have you here, mate.
Thanks for having me, dude.
You're on the podcast rounds, you're a podcast slut.
I'm pitching something, so I'm just right. Like, Johnny, I did 5 interviews on Monday.
Do you say the same things over and over, or do you, is it different every time?
I try to shake up the Kickstarter thing I'm pitching as much as I can, and I try to talk to each guest about what podcasting and how the documentary would affect them so that their fans, like I was on Todd Glass's show and we were talking about how powerful podcasting is. I said, Todd, you didn't come out of the closet on Conan O'Brien.
No.
You did it on Mark Maron.
Yep.
And that's a pod, you know, so.
But that is amazing. That when you look back at defining moments in podcasting.
That's it. That's
like, and a couple of them are very much Maron related. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when the New York Times did that big piece on podcasting and Mark Maron, that was a big moment for podcasting. Mm-hmm. And I think when Todd came out on that show, that was like when everyone went, oh, okay, this is where we do this now.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was like, I remember when he did that. I'm on the road a lot with Doug Benson, and Doug goes, man, I wish you would have come out on my show. And I was like, oh, wow, we're fighting for guys to come out. You
Although,
know?
It'd be a much weirder place to drop it just in an episode of Doug Loves Movies.
Yeah, yeah. I can name that in 2 names. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm gay. Yeah. Leonard Maltin out of the closet would be a new game.
All right. So why don't we start with just talking about the podcast and the Kickstarter? Because, I mean, it is something that I am fascinated in. So explain people who are listening to this have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Explain it from the start.
A podcast is a digital radio show. I mean, you know what you're listening to right now? No, yeah. I know what you mean.
No, but you know what? Like, that is the first thing that you're trying to deal with, I think, which is the idea that there are still, particularly in Australia, like, because in America, only a small percentage of people know what a podcast is. But by comparison, in Australia, it's a much, much smaller percentage. We're probably 4 or 5 years behind in the development of where podcasts are, you know, in Australia to where they are here.
Right. And even here, there's probably 80% of the population doesn't know what it is.
Right. Yeah. How do I get it into my...
Oh, what channel is it on?
Yeah. Do I have to rub my iPod on my... What do I rub it on? I don't understand how this works.
What time does it come on? Whenever you want it to. Okay. But then what channel? Like, I hear that conversation. So anyway...
And it's hard to say to people, you know how you listen to the radio, but like you have to listen through it for hours to get to that one interesting conversation you like. You know, this old, outdated model of like, you know, you will listen to a radio show because on Friday, that entertainment guy comes on who you think is hilarious. And you will sit through ads and music you don't like.
Traffic,
and conversations about things that you don't like just to get to that. We're basically saying to people, oh, no, you can just go out and find that thing that you like.
And talk about it.
And then if you like entertainment guy and you like a sport guy and you like a movies, then just
go get them.
Make it up yourself. Like, you make up all your...
Right.
And you just put them in your phone or your iPod or whatever, and you carry that around with
you. And listen to it whenever you want.
Yeah.
And I think, so that's one of the things that... The idea for the documentary came from Chris Mancini, my co-host on Comedy Film Nerds, which is a show you've been on.
Yes, and Chris will be on this show next week, which is
awesome.
Good.
Awesome, nice. We're tag-teaming you for promo.
Right.
I was like, Chris, run, go get everybody. And so we, you know, helped put together with Dave Anthony and Andy Wood the LA Podcast Festival,
yes,
which you guys did this past October, which was awesome. I was on it. I loved it. And we had a camera crew getting interviews with everybody just for promo for the festival. And we got these interviews with a lot of podcasters and fans. And we started hearing all this really cool stuff, like your interview, which is, you know, you talk about saying, you know, hey, I'm from Australia. Most of these American fans don't even know who I am. And yet you had 100 some people packed into that room because they'd heard you on Walking the Room and on Comedy Film Nerds or wherever else. And what that meant to you, you know, as a guy who's established himself, very nice career in Australia and kind of starting over a little bit here, and how cool that was that all these fans are discovering you for the first time in this very different way. Like, who's this Will Anderson guy? And just like, no, this guy's fucking awesome. You got to check him out.
But not only that, like, they're coming to the table, you know, sometimes like, you know, I've done Chelsea Handler's show like 6 times, right? If someone came to my show based on seeing me like tell jokes about Macaulay Culkin or Kim Kardashian, like they would come to the show and they'd be like, ah, this is not really
right.
Like, I'm not like that. I don't talk about those things in my acts. Whereas I think if people come from the podcast,
they know, they're invested in you.
Right. And they've got more of a sense of you as a complete person. And then on stage, you can talk about whatever you want because you can,
they'll go anywhere with you. And I think that's kind of what, you know, we were getting all these interviews and you like, you know, Marc Maron talking about, you know, he says he's there on the couch with Paul Gilmartin and, you know, Paul Gilmartin says, it's the most empowering thing I've done. And Paul is a guy who hosted on TBS for years and he had this steady gig and we always joked about that was his first audition. Why don't you take a second one? You know, like that was always like, and then Marc Maron talking about how he likes doing stand-up, but he's more authentic when he's podcasting, mm-hmm. You know,
which I think for stand-ups in particular can be a little bit confronting because I think we always believed, whether it's true or not, whether it's like a self-mythology that we, you know, impose upon ourselves to justify what it is we do, but there is this kind of myth or whatever it is, or maybe a truth that like comedians are modern day philosophers and they have the capacity on stage to say things that, you know, other people in society can't say. I constantly go back to the idea of the Joker in the King's Court. The only person who was allowed to make fun of the King was the Joker. Uh-huh. And as long as that person was funny, then they were allowed to live, right? But these days, I've learned recently, Dave Anthony and I did a podcast, an unexpected podcast that people can listen to if they'd like, called An Unexpectedly Serious Conversation that we put out not long ago. We ended up talking about for an hour a guy I knew who was a friend of mine who had downloaded child pornography and went to prison.
Oh,
and
man.
The thing at the end of that conversation was, and the way look, I won't divulge people's you know, specific stories, but I got mail from, we were worried about putting the podcast up because of the subject matter, right. You know, and I put it up because I thought that the audience would trust me and we'd build up a level of trust. I certainly put a warning at the start to say to people, if this is your first time on the podcast, don't listen to this
first. Yeah.
It's not always like this.
But you released it as an episode of Faux Fop.
Yeah. Like as a bonus episode, like okay. But it was, you know, some of it was funny, but it was mostly not funny. But the thing I got was I got letters from like people who were raped by teachers at high school. I got a letter from a guy who had been ripping off money from his company for over 15 years and talked about the idea of when he got caught that he was glad that he had got caught in a way because he'd had this terrible secret that he was carrying around and even though it cost him, you know, like his family and his wife and whatever. Yeah, he wrote me this wonderful message and I'm trying not to give away too much about it because it was a personal thing about him listening to that episode on the train and like crying like openly on the train on the way home from work. And it occurred to me in that moment that I could have never discussed that on stage as a stand-up because the complexities, the gray areas, the things that you have to be able to like have a conversation where sometimes you can even change your mind in the conversation when you hear someone else's perspective is not something that stand-up allows you.
And also stand-up people are coming for a very specific thing. They're coming to a comedy club. They bought a ticket to laugh, basically. And so it is sort of our responsibility in that context to be funny first and foremost. If you can make people think... Yeah. Great.
Yeah, but you got to dance first, monkey.
Yeah, you got to, man. You better,
Then you can start throwing your poo at us, but you got to dance first, monkey.
And you better have a shiny vest on.
Right. some sort of organ grinder. I'd like to see that, please.
Of course. A hat with a tassel. Right. I want to see it all. But no, that's such a great point. Where in what other form of medium in the history of mankind have you been able to do that? In the middle of this show, Faux Fop, which is largely comedic, you talk politics or whatever, we're going to do a special show, an hour, about something that, you know, that has to be extremely difficult to come to grips with that. For you, is that, like, I think about when you said that to me, my first thing was, Jesus, what if a lifetime friend? And I understand why pedophiles and incest, it gets covered up.
Right.
Because it's like, I don't want to cope. No, 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 no. I don't want to deal with this. Nope. You know, there's no way my uncle did that or my dad or whatever. And I
certainly don't want to talk out loud about the fact that I have conflicting feelings about it.
Right.
Because what society expects me to say.
Right.
And what I would have expected me to say 10 years ago before I went through this situation is that is 100% completely wrong.
Fuck
and there
him.
Is no.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's still a fair part of me that does think that, by the way.
Yeah.
But it worried me or interested me that there was at least a part of me that was looking for an excuse to make an excuse, to forgive or whatever. And to be able to express that. Like, I think these conversations hopefully are good for people because they allow, you know, people to go, I've been, even if it's not that same situation.
Well, clearly, though, it is because of the letters you've already received.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, I haven't listened to it and nor was I not there. But I know you and I know Dave Anthony and I know that you had a discussion. It wasn't, again, like some, you know, right-wing Fox News, like, this is it, and then add, you know, and then ticker underneath to get you scared or whatever. Like, that's the, again, the beauty of podcasting is you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You want to do a special episode where you talk about that? Guess what? You get to do it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
and I don't think there's ever been a time in the history of what we do that we've had this sort of freedom.
Ever.
This is normally the shit that gets shut down.
Oh, yeah. This is the, like, no, you're done.
I mean, we're living in Hump Up the Volume.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
Not Hump Up the Volume. Pump Up the Volume. The porn version Hump Up, up the Volume, I think.
Christian Slater rides around in a van and fucks people. Yeah, that was a great
He's pitching that now. That's his new. It's like a gritty reboot.
Gritty reboot. Bring it back. Bring it back.
Christian Slater, as an older guy, has a podcast in a van, but it's the one they used to use for the bait bus. And so it's half porn, half podcast. Hump Up the Volume.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pitching that.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
But yes, I mean, I think this, if you look at that, there was a terrible movie called The Boat That Rocked. Is that what it was called? It was about the pirate radio.
Oh, pirate radio boat in England.
Right. This is pirate radio. That's what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And in the past, what has ruined pirate radio has always been either censorship or commerce. Like, they're the two mm-hmm. things. It either gets to a point where people say, no, you can't say that sort of thing, and we're going to bring in a lot of rules and regulations and that sort of stuff.
Or we're going to buy you out.
Or we're going to buy you out, and then you won't be able to say those things because of your
money.
Big corporate sponsor or whatever. It's a weird time to be in something. Like, you do feel like at the moment, because also, all these people who are doing these things for free would love to at least be able to pay for them,
dude,
right?
Believe me.
But we all love doing this the most. Like, if we could do this in a way that paid some of our bills as well.
I've said this before. We had Eddie Ift on the show, and we were talking about, yeah, I'd love to be on a sitcom. I'd love to do that or whatever. But if you told me, Graham, here's a couple million dollars being on a sitcom where at the end of the day, you're like, that was kind of funny because, you know, sitcoms aren't that great unless they're like 30 Rock or something. Or 150 grand a year doing comedy Film Nerds and stand up.
Right.
Sold.
Wouldn't think about it.
I've been booked twice. It's like, you know, $10 million or 150. Give me 150. I can fucking live like a king on 150 grand.
Right.
I can go on surf trips. I don't give a shit. Like, you know, I'll buy a couple of nice samurai swords. I'll be fucking golden. I'll be golden. You know,
you can budget enough out of your 150 for one new samurai sword per year.
And maybe a new surfboard.
Right. Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Right.
And so like that is like you say, and it's, I really feel like I say this a lot. I feel like it's rock and roll in the 50s.
Yep.
You know, where they're like, who's this Elvis guy? He's crazy or it's a fad. And no one can even imagine at that in the 50s that there would be these stadium shows and U2 and lasers and whatever else. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, and I really feel like that's where we're at. And I.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing that I say is punk rock because it feels like punk rock, it feels homemade. You know, it feels like it's shaking up the system. People are saying things that people weren't saying when things have got safe. You know, I think that podcasting, as we know it, is very much a reaction to how safe, like radio in particular,
right.
got. Like radio became terrible.
Right.
Like, if there was good radio still, then people wouldn't necessarily, right. like, podcasts might not have needed to happen. But because radio became so safe and so commercial and so formulaic.
Even the music that they play right. is like, we have to play these 9 songs because the label paid for it or whatever. And it's just like, you know, and of course there's, you know, there's like ESPN and these big, they do a lot of podcasts.
Right.
Right. And they've got big sponsors like Subway and Coca-Cola and all that shit. And they're doing, and they're still in that be careful what you say model, because it's just sort of a digital extension of this big corporate arm. Whatever the stuff we're doing, we're sitting here talking into a Zoom over a dining room table with the softest blanket I've ever had. Like,
I know.
This is like a baby's. It's just amazing.
You know, the interesting thing is, because we're indoors today because it's a little bit cold to sit out on the balcony today. That sometimes I've been doing some balcony casts. I've been enjoying those.
Balcony casts.
It's a little echoey in here still because I don't have any, like, you know, right. art and stuff on the walls. So what I've done, because we're on a wooden table, is I just got like a blanket off the couch and I've put it on. That's basically, I've created a studio. But what I realized was that this is the softest blanket of all time. And all I do when I'm like talking is just sit here and rub the blanket.
Like, you're telling me something and I'm just like, this blanket is gorgeous.
It's like I'm taking Graham back to the womb.
Yeah, you know, it's literally. You could be like, Graham, I've been in a time machine here winning lottery numbers. I'd be like, soft blanket, soft. Gorgeous blanket.
So podcasting. Before we get to the. I mean, this is all part of the conversation we're having. Tell me about where you were at when you started your podcast. Like, how long ago was it? Why did it start in the first place? How did it start?
Well, I'll backtrack. I'll go to the very. I did the first podcast I ever did was I think in 05 or 06. It was called Comedians in Combat. And it was for the Now Live network.
Right.
And we would live stream it. So they were still like a radio. They were doing like a radio thing. And then they were trying to kind of have a social networking arm to their website. So we would live stream it. And I would have to drive from the beach up to the valley, which is about a 30-minute drive, on every Monday or something like that. And what the show was I'd been to Afghanistan and Iraq to do stand-up comedy for the military. And I would have other...
I'm glad you put for the military.
For the military.
Yeah. For the enemy. Yeah. Look, I was taking whatever gigs I could get at that stage.
We all got to work. You know what I mean? The Taliban Funny Bone outside of Kabul. It's a good club. It's a good club. It's a good club. Yeah, for the enemy. Yeah.
Did you play a la hilarities? I couldn't quite get it out.
A la hilarities? Yeah. I did that. That's outside of Jalalabad. Yeah. Good gig. But so, yeah.
Hala would have been better. That's
there it is. WellAnderson.com, ladies and gentlemen. So I started doing that one, and I would have a comic on who'd been over there, and we would trade stories.
Okay, yep.
And because we all have these, if you've ever been over there, it's always like crazy, heart, funny stories, like, oh my God. But then everyone had a like
yep.
really heart wrenching story.
Oh, like, I mean, people have heard Tom Gleason and Justin Hamilton and people like that come on this podcast and talk about their experiences entertaining the troops. Like, it's clearly something that, like, you know, changes your life in so many different ways.
It changes you forever. Like, if you don't want to change fundamentally as a person, don't go on one of those tours, because it will. I'd love to talk to Justin about it. So that's what the show was. I didn't get it at the time. I was like, why am I doing a radio show for free? I'm not getting paid. I'm like, this is such a hassle. Facebook, obviously, it wasn't even in, I don't even think MySpace had really come onto the scene yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I didn't get any of that. And I was like, I wanted to make that into a TV show and even shot like a pilot for it. And so that sort of ended. 06, I think I stopped doing that. Maybe, no, 07, I was still doing it in 07 because I went to Iraq with Scott Kennedy, who's a guy who went over there 50 sometimes and passed away last year. He's a great dude. And we did like a live one on Thanksgiving Day, like a live stream thing, which was kind of a cool thing. But again, podcasting hadn't taken off. And so I was kind of like, and right around 07 is when Chris Mancini, myself, Chris said, let's start this website. Comedy Film Nerd started as a website with movie reviews, funny movie reviews written by comedians, and an online store. And so then 07 is when all this, like, Never Not Funny and all those shows started popping up. And so they would have Chris and I on to talk movies. And Doug Loves Movies at the UCB. And so we were the comedy filmers, and everyone kept going, why don't you guys just do a podcast? And Chris and I were like, well, I don't know. Blah, blah. And then finally, I had a voiceover agent at the time, and was, so we launched Comedy Film Nerds in April of 08 as a website. And 08 is when I started going back on the road heavy, hard. And I also got a voiceover agent at that time. And my voiceover agent was like, here's a snowball microphone. And was showing me how to, I'm not very technically proficient,
no,
but how to record voiceover auditions on the road.
Right.
Where I would literally be in a hotel room, put a blanket over my head, and I would record an MP3 of like, hey, all right, Graham Elwood, host voice, you know, like 300 episodes of game shows. So that's what I would do. And I would email those MP3s in. And so I finally said to Chris, I go, Chris, I know how to do this.
Right.
Let's just do it. So we literally just put the snowball on the table in Chris's garage and started talking. And our first episode was like 15 minutes. The sound quality blows. Then we were like, maybe we should have a guest on. I think we had Jackie Cation or Mike Schmidt. We just started talking movies. And you know, it kind of blew up from there. And now it's like a focal point of the company.
Right.
Because, and we love doing it.
It's the place where people are most likely to A, find you first, mm-hmm. but B, you can, like, the time to result, like, I think is really good as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you can create an hour in an hour.
Yeah.
Which, you know, even with the website or whatever, to create an hour of content for people would take you probably 1,000 hours.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like, I mean, if you were literally going to create enough stuff that people could amuse themselves for an hour on a website, like, that is hundreds or thousands of hours of work to make that work. Whereas in a podcast, I mean, yes, there's like editing and putting it up and promoting it and all those sort of things. But literally from a point of view of being creative to mm-hmm. what you get at the end result, you can talk for an hour and have an hour show at the end of it.
And that, you know, because most of our episodes are very timely in terms of, we talk about movies that just came out. We record and release on Tuesdays.
Yep.
And we talk about movies that are coming out this coming weekend. We rarely edit. I mean, we've done over 200 episodes, and I think I've edited maybe 9 of them.
Yeah.
Because we record, and it goes up an hour later, because we want it to be timely. Obviously, we've done live shows and special shows and shit like that, but we really started, and we kind of found this rhythm of what it is. But then even within that, you know, Chris and I always say to each other, we can do whatever we want.
Right.
Like the spoiler rep that you... we're on. You did a Pacific Rim spoiler episode with us, which was golden. We almost lost it.
I know. I remember that.
Then recovered it. Oh my God. That was like a whole drama around that. A fan. This is another great thing about podcasting. A fan fixed it for me. I sent the fan the file. Guy put it together and saved the episode.
I think I mentioned this on the live episode that we did together, but at the podcast festival, but I've not only had that, I had a fan take one that I'd posted and thought was fine offline, re-edit it, send it back to me, and then I put it up.
See, that is what I love about it.
Right.
Like, I love that fan interaction and what it means to the fans. And to come back full circle to the whole Kickstarter thing that we're doing is, you, I'm sure, have gotten, not just from the episode with Dave Anthony, that special episode, but just in general, I'm sure you've heard, hey, your, you know, FOFOP got me through this tough event, whatever, chemo, or just
that's a tough job.
I got a shitty job.
So when, and that in itself, like, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, it got me through chemo.
Right.
That's the thing is, like, someone says, you know what, I work in data entry and I'm sitting there like for, you know, 7 or 8 hours a day and that gets me through it. And you think, well, what better gift to give anyone than getting, like, making your shitty day a happy day? Like, at the end of the day, that's really what we're doing. And, you know, as people who aren't doctors or who aren't, you know, people who are contributing what you consider those big things to the world, if you can make a dude who got to work a bit grumpy happier when he leaves work, he goes home, he sees his wife, his girlfriend, his whatever, he's happier to them because he didn't have, like, shitty seven, you know, he doesn't come home and take out the resentment of those mm-hmm. 8 shitty hours at that shitty job on the people at home because he's actually looking forward to doing something. So that's the first bit. The second thing is, so when we first did this podcast, when it was Tofop and Charlie and I hosted it, when he had to leave, I just never imagined that I would keep doing a podcast, because the only reason we did it was an excuse for us to catch up. You know, like, we literally started it so that at least once per week we would get together and have a conversation. And it was so true, because since we haven't been doing the podcast, we talk about twice a year.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. But, no, I see more of my friends catching up, either having them on Comedy Film Nerds or going on their shows.
Right. So, but when it finished, the only reason I started the new podcast, I think eventually I probably would have anyway, but the only reason I did it at the time was when it finished was the first time I understood how important that podcast had been to people. Because up until that point, it was just me and Charlie getting together, having some beers and talking about Batman. I didn't realize that...
That sounds awesome.
I just didn't understand that, like, there was people out there who did listen to it when they were in hospital, or did listen to it when they were going through their exams, or did listen to it when they were like 15 and lonely and didn't think that anybody else was into the same things they were into, and heard these people talking about
or just
things.
Live like how many people, I'm sure you get it, like I live in some small town in the middle of nowhere and you got me through it. Or, you know, we just got an email from a fan. I was just doing the Sklar Brothers and they were like, we had a fan in China saying, this is the only English I get to hear. The TV, it's all in Chinese, obviously. So this is the only English interaction I get as an American living in China is listening to Sklarbro.
I mean, we were just talking about this off air, but podcasts are a big part of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, like I am a fan of podcasts. Like mm-hmm. I listen to all these podcasts, and I was saying that one of the shittiest things about going on all these podcasts is that I have to skip those episodes. Like, I'm like, how am I going to go for my walk today?
Well, dude, I was flattered that when I first came and did that tour in Australia and met Justin Hamilton, who helped put it together, and saw you. I had already met you, I think, you did the first year of the podcast festival. You were just guests on a couple shows. So I think I met you when we interviewed you for that. But then seeing you in Australia and you were like telling me all about, oh man, I listen to Comedy Film Nerds, and I was like, oh wow, you know, and the whole Dark Knight spoiler ep, which was the first ever spoiler ep we did,
right?
Which was a big deal on a lot of levels. And the first one is a fan emailed us and said, because we're very clear on the on regular Comedy Film Nerds, we don't want to spoil the ending because people get pissed off. And we learned that the hard way. And they're like, fuck you for saying this, so we don't say it. So a fan was like, I really wish you guys would do an all spoiler up about Dark Knight because I want to hear what you really think. And I was like, I said to Chris, I go, we got to do this and we'll bring Mike Schmidt on. And that episode was emotional for me because I have a strong connection to that character and to, you know, he has PTSD and all that stuff like that is important to me. And I remember when Mike Schmidt said, are you too close to this?
Right.
And you and I both shared that when he said that, we both in our heads went, no, you're not close enough.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember that though, because I told you this. I was so nervous about listening to that episode.
Because you were worried that...
I was worried that you guys were going to say things that would make me hate you.
So funny. Justin Hamilton, when I met him in Australia, he told me that he called you and said, Will, it's okay.
Yeah,
okay. It's okay. Because you were going to like, I'm not listening to this episode. Yep. Fuck this guy when he comes to Australia. Like,
that's what I would be.
I'm going to have him killed. Like, we're going
to. I have, like, there's a guy who is I probably shouldn't be saying this because this guy might even like be able to work it out. I'm sure he doesn't listen to the podcast. But a guy who's like a comedian and is a friend of mine and still is a friend of mine.
Right.
But I had to like stop following on Twitter, and now I don't respond to anything just because he said mean things about that movie. I was just like, I'm sorry, but that has actually ruined how close we are. Like, you're allowed to have your own opinions. I just don't want to fucking hear your stupid opinions.
We had Pete Holmes on the show. We did a live Film Nerds at the Limestone Comedy Festival. Pete Holmes, I think, is fucking hilarious.
Very, very funny.
He's got a whole funny 10 minutes about making fun of The Dark Knight.
Yes. I remember that.
Yeah.
He had those tweets and all
all those stuff.
Uh-huh.
My comedian side of me acknowledges these are funny.
Right.
These make sense.
No. Yep.
And, but I just said to him, you're never going to change my mind.
Right.
It'd be like, I love, it'd be somebody coming up to me going, Graham, you know, surfing, there's sharks, the water in LA is dirty, you could hurt yourself. I'd be like, that's great. I'm going to go surfing.
Right.
Like, I'm never, Dark Knight Rises is a perfect movie. I've heard all of your arguments from the world out there.
Don't care.
I don't care. Give a shit.
Because here's what I felt at the end of it. Complete. Yeah. I was like, thank you. You made a movie for me.
Three fucking awesome movies. You ended it perfectly.
But you know what he ended it for? It was like the podcast of movies. Because he was like, fuck you. I'm making this for the people who love this.
Yes.
And this is what they want from this final movie, right?
Yeah.
Because all I've got from people who really loved, like, I'll give you an example. So last episode of Lost, it divides people. Yes. Like people who loved that show feel betrayed by that last episode.
I'm one of those people. Right.
People like Justin have our Dark Knight Rises attitude to the last episode of Lost, which is that everything about that show is perfect and he doesn't want to hear anything that it's like. And I'm probably somewhere in between the two of you. I fluctuate a little bit. Like the first time I watched it, I did feel a little let down. Since I've kind of tried to revisit it through the idea of going, I loved that show so much that I'm going to kind of embrace. It's their story to tell. It's not my fucking story, and they can tell it however they want to tell it.
This is my issue with that. My issue with that is, and maybe this is residual abuse. I feel like they said fuck you to the fans. We're going to do whatever we want. Not Christopher Nolan said no. Fuck you, passive fans.
Right.
This is for the diehards.
Uh-huh.
I feel like the Lost guys early on. The first season, people were like, are they already dead? And they're like, oh no, they're not already dead. And then they're flim-flammy. Oh, actually, they're kind of... When they explain that episode, it's like that bullshit that fucking Obi-Wan says to Luke Skywalker in a Jedi where Luke goes, why didn't you just tell me Darth Vader was my dad? Well, from another point of view, it's like, oh, shut the fuck, okay. Like, you're backpedaling, Mr. Kenobi. You know what I mean?
And I felt, with all due respect, Mr. Kenobi.
He was his dad. Just fucking say it. Don't say, well, Anakin was murdered, and he therefore wasn't the same man. Like, okay.
You're a lawyer now, are you, Ben? Yeah, what we're doing? Yeah. We're arguing over fine print?
Okay, that's exactly what he did. Yeah.
I didn't know this was Kenobi and Associates, so. Sorry.
Kenobi and Associates. Were you injured in an accident?
Call crazy Ben Kenobi.
TIE fighter accident? Call Ben.
1-800 former Jedi.
Sand people dispute? Yeah, that's what I felt like with the Lost thing.
Right, that's interesting to me. I would I have revisited that ending, and I think the only thing that I did not... There's two things that I think don't work for me about that ending. Oh, okay, firstly, Dark Knight Rises, while I say it's flawless, I say it's flawless in the way that like even the most beautiful diamond in the world has a tiny speck of a flaw. That's what makes it. For me, there's one line in The Dark Knight Rises that I did not enjoy, and I've watched that movie now probably 25, 30 times, and I still don't enjoy it every time, which is the final fight scene, Bane and Batman when he first comes back, and you know, Bane... says, have you come back to die with your city? And Batman says, what did he say? Oh, no, I've come. Like, I've even blocked it out of my mind. It's like, no, I've come back to stop you or whatever it is. Yeah. And you're like, Batman wouldn't say that. My thing has always been he should have just punched him in the face.
Right.
Like, he shouldn't have said anything. He should have just started fighting because that's what he was back to do, right? He wasn't back to say some corny, like, diehard one-liner. But then I met, like,
you're the bane of my existence. like
yeah. Really rampant.
Just horrible. Just fight. I see what you're saying.
But when I was in Denver, I had breakfast with a guy who listens to the podcast. He reached out to me and I was like, do you want to get together and have breakfast? And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. We went and had breakfast. And he suggested to me that the line should have been, if that's what it takes. Because if he'd said in that moment, like, if you come back to die with your city, if Batman had said, if that's what it takes, to me, A, that's Batman, right? But B, it sets up what happens at the ending so much, like, I'm willing to fuck, like, because that is what he's willing
to do.
That's what
he'll do. He will die for Gotham.
So what I'm saying is, as soon as we have the technology for me at home with this Zoom to just re-edit that one line,
and put the-
I'm going to, because he's got a mask on. It's not like I'm just going to re-edit that in. And then
it's like what Topher Grace did with the Star Wars prequels and edit them to like a 60-minute perfect film.
Right. I'm just going to send, and then I'm going to send it into Chris Nolan.
I'm sure he's the first Wingnut fan to send him a different version. I'm sure he's just like, oh, wonderful. Okay.
So final episode of Lost was what I was going to say was this. I think that the network fucked them a little bit, which is with the airplane footage on the beach over the ending credits. I think that confused a lot of people that they had been dead the whole time,
right?
Which they weren't. They were they all died in their own time. It, like, right. You know, as they say in the show, everything that happened, happened. Everything that you saw happen on the island actually happened. Whatever that series six or series seven thing, that last thing, that alternate world was some sort of, whatever you want to call it, holding place where they would all meet each other when they died naturally one by one.
Right.
So I think it led to a misinterpretation of the way they shot it and that last bit. Some people were just like, oh, they were dead the whole time.
Yeah, and that does reek of the network going, well, we need to explain this or, you know.
And I don't think it was – so I think that there's a part of me that it's tried to, you know, embrace that and get, like, you know, let them tell the story that, you know, that they wanted to tell.
You know, I hear that, and I also think part of the problem with Lost is a pitfall of American television, which is, like, on the BBC, they do six episodes or one season, maybe three at the most.
Yep.
And American TV, they're going to milk that fucking thing, and it happens on pick a Mad Men, Breaking Bad. There's always some season or even some episodes within a season where you're like, they're fucking spinning their wheels.
Right.
And where if you knew it was going to be three seasons, you would just fucking boom, you would get into it. Like, they keep dragging it out. Like Lost, you could tell they would just like, well, we got to shuffle our feet for this fucking episode. And so we're going to go off in this dumb direction. You'd be like, what happened to all that crazy shit you just introduced? And that's the problem of, like, well, we need another season. We need another pickup. We need more money. And it dilutes what is a great thing.
Well, that's interesting. And it comes back to, I guess, to bring us back to podcasting again, which is that in some ways, everything is always a compromise.
Sure.
Like, you know, the reason you can't just tell the story the way that you wanted to tell the story.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's about, I mean, there's famous stories. I mean, you look at Breaking Bad, like, Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that character was going to be killed off.
First season.
Like, can you imagine that story?
I know.
Without that?
Right.
So, like, things happen along the way.
And that's a good...
Right, that's a good one.
Right.
Yeah. So, it comes back to the idea of podcast, which is quite a lot of the time you're just getting the idea unfiltered. Like, for good or for ill.
Right.
Because sometimes editing or outside, like, feedback is really important.
Right.
Like, I joke all the time when people, like, complain about this podcast. Like, my first thing I always say is, fuck you, it's a free podcast.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they've got a valid point, I still will take it on board and it will feed into my
knowledge. Implement some of the good criticisms. I'll implement. Like, Chris and I have done that a bunch of times.
Right.
And we're like, the whole spoiler thing. Fans were getting mad, so we made that a clear thing, and that we...
And then it makes it a new creative thing.
Which is awesome.
Which is great. It makes it into a new, better thing. And the thing that I was going to say about that was that I like to get that feedback, and I like to, you know, change things based on what the audience wants. And with the podcast, you do have that capacity. You have the capacity to ignore it as well.
Sure.
If you want to ignore it. But it's there, and you can get that in a way that sometimes I think when you're successful in particular, people stop giving you good feedback. Like, you know, you look at Judd Apatow. Like, what I loved about Judd Apatow movies when they first came out was they didn't have that hour of stuff they now let him leave in because he's a big star director and he can put whatever he wants in there.
That's the single greatest killer of good comedy is getting crazy successful.
Right.
And everybody telling, oh, that's great. You need somebody to go, no, dude, that joke sucks. Or someone already did that joke. Yep. Or
maybe that joke will be better if you cut out the other three times you make exactly that same joke.
Yeah, yeah. You're making that joke over. It's like Anchorman 2. I felt the same thing. I saw Anchorman 2 and I went, oh, this is, nobody told them no. There's no pressure from any of it. They already got the money from Dodge and all those other places, you know? So there were funny moments in Anchorman 2, but I was like,
right,
this is Adam McKay just doing whatever, and him and Will Ferrell doing whatever they want.
Yeah. Not one person is in there, at least, because you know what? Sometimes when you have to fight for a joke, it makes it a better joke as well.
Right. When you you have to fight for a joke, or you get resistance from somewhere, and you know, somebody says, or how about this or that? And when no one is saying that, because part of it, what happens is it becomes in your own personal financial interest to not argue.
Right.
When you're underling or whatever. And that you see that happen with very funny comedians that get sitcoms or whatever. And you're like, come on, man. I've seen this dude's act. He's fucking on fire. Why are we watching this sort of watered down?
I always think that to me, what makes Seinfeld like what made Seinfeld so great and what means that I can still watch an episode of Seinfeld right. and still find it good. And I don't have any knowledge of this. This is just me guessing. But I think it would have to do with the relationship between Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because I think in a different world, without Larry David, Seinfeld, that could have become a very bland and boring.
Of course.
You know, I feel like he always had Larry... Worst come to worst, he always had Larry David thinking something was a stupid idea.
Yeah.
Or Larry David going, we have to do, you know, like, and I think that that relationship, having that person in your corner to be able to tell you when you're being shit,
yeah,
is as valuable as someone who's going to tell you you're fantastic or yeah. more valuable.
Because even as you like performing live, if you sometimes go on stage, you've seen, you know, people who are very famous or whatever, and they perform and you can say, the audience will just let you say and do anything, which in some ways is freeing as an artist. Right. Like, oh, this is my fans. They love whatever I do.
And they let me go wherever I want to go.
Wherever I want to go.
Which is fantastic.
And you can find great right. things in that. You can, yeah. oh my God, I never would have found that tag because I never would have gone there.
Right.
But then you also can just like,
yeah,
you can just, you know, spin your wheels basically, or you can just juggle and they're like, oh my God, it's brilliant. He's the most amazing juggler I've ever. It's like, no, he's just fucking juggling, dude. It's
funny. We were talking about this off air, but I'm happy to talk about it on air, which is that I did Doug Loves Movies last night mm-hmm. at UCB. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the idea that I didn't feel like I had done a particularly good job myself, but I felt like the show had been fantastic. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it was a good show. And I felt like that, me trying to, if I had let my ego take over and just gone, no, I want to be part of this fantastic, that I would have made the show worse. Well, I might yeah, have. Yeah. I might have pulled it off. And then but there was a big chance that I was just going to be like, yeah. no, they're already having a good time. You know, you have to be aware of your space and aware of who you are and aware of what your role is. And those things are still important. It's still important to remember that you're part of a team and that you're part of a show right. and that you're part of a night. Yeah. Okay. So let's go back to the Kickstarter thing. So you've started the podcast. You've got this podcast going. You've started the podcast festival, mm-hmm. and then you do all these interviews at the podcast festival. And
we realize all of the things we've just been talking about for the last whatever half hour. Chris and I were like, this should be a documentary because there was a camera crew in the first year, and the guy was like, I'm going to make a podcast documentary. I'm blanking out his name, but he's the same guy who directed Bitter Buddha, the Eddie Pepitone documentary.
Oh, okay.
And we're like, wow, this guy's a very good
guy. Was it Emery? Did he do that or no, was it somebody else?
No, it was...
Who did that?
God damn it. He's going to be mad at me if he hears me not remembering his name. Okay. But anyway.
Well, hello if you listen to the podcast.
God, big fan. Huge fan. I love everything you do. So we were like, wow, this is a great guy to make this documentary. That fell apart. The podcasting documentary fell apart. And then, so we got these interviews and, you know, some other people were like, we want to maybe make a podcasting documentary. And then Chris came to me and he goes, in the Nerd Garage, and he goes, dude, who knows more about filmmaking, podcasting, and documentaries than right. we do? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And so, you know,
this is interesting too, by the way, because that's your perfect storm theory. Like it's your, you know, if you want to go the Malcolm Gladwell way or whatever, but it's about mm-hmm. being in the right place at the right time with the right amount of skills. Like, you know, you guys are genuinely, like when you started a podcast, you didn't think we're going to do a podcast documentary. When
with
you started,
a festival, we didn't think any of that.
When you started like, you know, being interested in film and like right. learning film skills, and you didn't think, oh, one day we will start a podcast and we'll be able to make a documentary about yeah. Like all these things have come together. But you're absolutely right. No one understands the world better, is at mm-hmm. the heart of the world, you know, through the festival and that sort of thing. But also has like, I mean, obviously the broader film, you know, skills mm-hmm. and film knowledge to do that. So you guys... But it must have been a big thing to then, because it's fine to think that. It's fine to have that conversation. It's much more ballsy to then go, we want to actually do this. We're going to put our hand up and say, we want to do this.
You know, and Chris and I have been talking a lot about that because it's all eyes on us. Uh-huh. You know, if this thing doesn't fund, it's like, yeah. Chris and Graham couldn't pull it off.
Right.
You know, and if it does fund, then it's all on us.
Yeah.
But I think... Nobody got into show business to play it safe. At least I didn't. It's every morning you get up and you roll the dice. So we were just like, the first year of the podcast festival was funded by Kickstarter.
Uh-huh.
And you know, some people are like, because we need $135,000 to do this movie. And some people are like, wow, that's a lot. Why don't you just go 40 or 50? And we're like, well, 40 wouldn't get it done.
We can't do it.
We can't do it.
Right.
And I can't take time off the road unless I'm getting paid.
Right.
And I did a documentary, Laughganistan, where we only had a handful, you know, 30 grand, and it took me 3.5 fucking years. It almost killed me, you know? And so...
Yeah, podcast might be over by the time you finish.
Maybe the government will shut it down, or...
You can put it on the History Channel.
Yeah.
There was this great moment. I made a podcast about...
Then it faded. It was like CB radios. Yep. They're over.
People have probably just been downloading shit into their heads by the time you finish.
Exactly. Like,
who gives everyone now have the chip in their arm.
Beep, beep, beep.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, good luck with your podcast documentary, mate. We can now download porn into our heads.
Yeah, I can touch a book and know every word in it.
Yeah.
Like, because I just scan it with the fucking laser in my palm. So we were like, let's do this. And we realized that podcasting is... The reason, like you said, Chris and I, every podcaster has probably had a day where they went, why am I doing this?
Right.
You get an email, you go to a live show, somebody comes up. Like when I, again, did that little tour in Australia, I was doing bar gigs, you know, and I was some little bar outside of suburban Adelaide or some shit. And there was a couple of film nerd fans.
Right.
And I was like, I'm on the other side of the planet.
When I'm on the road here, I'm in places that I have never been before.
Right, right.
And I'm looking out in the audience and seeing people in like Tofop t-shirts or whatever. But then I talk to them after the show and some of them have driven like 7 or 8 hours to get to the nearest place I was going that was near them. That's what they will do. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that. Well, we drove 3 hours. Like Chris and I did a show in Barstow, which is in the middle of the desert. It's the halfway between LA and Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It's strip malls and meth, you know, like there's nothing there. And
and you can stay up all day to see nothing.
Yeah, exactly. There's like a, you know, there's nothing. It's
one place where you want to be awake 24 hours a day.
You are driving across. It's like driving across the Outback. Right. It's fucking, there's nothing there. And people are like, we drove 3 hours to that town.
Right.
Like we live more out of the way than the middle of nowhere to see Chris and I do stand up in the back of a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
And it was fucking packed. And so we want that connection. What the movie, a big part of the 135 grand is we want to travel around and interview. Like I want to see the guy in the middle of nowhere who listens to this on his tractor or whatever.
Yeah.
And if we hit we have some stretch goals. We get like 20 grand over the 135. We want to go to Australia. I want to interview some dude that's wherever, riding a train in Melbourne or out in the middle of fucking nowhere saying, I listen to Doug Loves Movies in the fucking Outback. And I want to show that almost on I almost envision like a split screen of like Marc Maron in his garage and then some dude in the middle of nowhere listening to that episode.
There's an interesting advertisement on the television here at the moment. I think it's for one of the American car companies. And it's about great things coming out of garages. I don't know if you've seen that ad, but it's like, Google started in a garage.
YouTube.
Apple started in a garage, you know, like, and the Ramones started in a garage. There's great things that could come out of American garages, and then it's whatever car company that it is. But that's the thing, is like, it's literally people making, like Marc Maron makes the most like popular comedy podcasts in the world in his garage.
In his garage. I mean, Jimmy Pardo, they've moved, but he used to do it above a 7-Eleven.
I did the show there.
You did the gig, and you'd go and you'd walk past a homeless dude, and you'd grab
him. You felt like you were going to get murdered.
Yeah, you're going
to
get shanked.
You had to go up to like a weird balcony where you're like, I don't even know where the door is here.
Yeah,
this is like...
dark staircase where you're like, oh, this is where someone died.
Right.
Like you can smell death, you know, and urine. And, you know, like we do ours in Chris's garage.
Right.
You know, and all these shows happened out of nowhere, and part of it obviously is the technology.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to show that. I want to show the connection to the fan. You know, we had a fan in Japan after the tsunami and earthquake hit. And her name is Sanai Narita, and she's a huge comedy film nerd fan. And we've always joked her name is Sandy, like we mispronounce her name, and she lives in Hong Kong, Tokyo. We just act like dumb Americans that don't know where anything is. And we call her Big Fan Japan. when that hit, all of our fans on Twitter were asking her on Twitter, are you okay?
Right.
And it was like, Chris and I were like, you know, in the middle of this awful event, this little community of,
no, it's a community
of film nerds, we're all looking out for each other. That's one of the reasons we started the festival. I was like, I want all these people in one room. I want to have a fucking slumber party with these people.
I mean, it's the podcast festival. Like the first time the first year, I said to people afterwards, I said, I've been to some of the biggest festivals around the world, mm-hmm. both comedy, but also as a, like to music festivals, sure. and stuff. Like, you know, it's something that I like to do for fun. And I'd never felt more of a vibe than I did that first year at that festival, because you'd brought together a group of people. I mean, it's a weird idea. You're essentially bringing together a group of people who consume the thing they do individually.
Like, it's a bunch of agoraphobes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it was, you did need the double-sized room because no one would sit next to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone needed like a gap in between personal space issues. but they all love... They all have this one thing in common, even though they might not have anything else in common. But secondly, it's still at a point where people love podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, as in somebody was asking me, we were lucky enough that Tofop, iTunes Australia called Fofop, that named their number one podcast of 2013. And I was being interviewed about that by, you know, a journalist who wanted to write a story about it. And she said, you know, how does it feel to have beaten these other podcasts? And I said, this is the one area of my life where that's not what it feels like. We're all in this together. And people who like podcasts.
Yeah.
Like, because they're not up against each other.
It's not like you're and mine are both Thursday at 8.
Right. And then that's a competition, and then people are making a choice. No, you just load the ones you like on your thing and you listen to them when you want to listen to them.
High tide raises all boats, and, you know, and that's one of the things we wanted to do with the festival is, you know, I always say to the fans, come to the festival, see your favorites, but check out a show you've never heard. And like, it just happened. I've been a guest on a million shows, and I was just on Probably Science with Andy Wood.
Great podcast.
And Andy helps run the festival.
Yep. And Matt Kirshen's a regular on this podcast, so people will know him, and hopefully they've checked out the podcast.
He's hilarious.
So fucking
Jesse's
funny.
Very funny. And a big fan of mine was like, that podcast is great. I just listened to it, Graham, because you were on it.
Right.
And I'm like, that's what I want.
But that is what you want. The amount of times where people say that to me, like, you know, I've been on something, mm-hmm. or vice versa, that somebody came to me through hearing me on, you know, like,
Dude, we've picked up Film Nerds has so many fans in Australia now because I've been on this and you've been on ours.
Right.
It's the coolest fucking thing.
And then they're a world that, so I guess this is what I was going to say about the nature of, you're asking for a lot of money for this thing. But what I would like to make the point to the audience is that this will be good for podcasting. Like, if you like podcasting, if you want to support podcasting, and often with this podcast, I don't really ask too often for people to support things, but I mostly just say, come to my shows. And by the way, I still come to my shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Donate to Kickstarter and go see Will
Live. And also come and see my shows. Like, I mean, if you're tossing up between the two, still come and see my show. But if you've got some extra cash, like, I've got to earn my living.
Hey, brother, I hear
you.
But
this is... This will be good for podcasting. If you like podcasts and you would like them to continue, like, the awareness of podcasts is not going to destroy podcasts.
It's
the awareness of podcasts is only going to mean, like, I'm lucky now that I'm not doing the television at home and I'm over here, I have a little bit more time. I've been putting out episodes like maybe 2 or 3 a week. When I get them done, I just put them up because I can.
Right.
Like, if I had the capacity to be able to do like 5 a week or whatever, I would do 5 a week.
Are you kidding
me?
That's
what people wanted.
Chris, like, and I talk about that all the time. You know, we love, like, when we added the spoiler apps, we wish we had more time to do that every week.
Right.
We'd love to release it.
And that's what, if there's more people listening and if more people know how to get a podcast and access a podcast, then the entire industry grows.
Right.
And this, like, sometimes it takes a movie. You know, sometimes it takes I even look at like music docos, things like the ones that spring to mind are just like of bands that I had never heard of. So you look at things like the Anvil documentary or...
That was one of the first movies we reviewed on the website.
Right.
And it was like, I had never heard of Anvil. And then it was like, it's heartbreaking and also beautiful and motivational, that movie.
Right. And a band called Death, which was another one came out recently. Searching for Sugarman.
Jesus. Like, I saw that in Adelaide.
Right.
At a theater in Adelaide. And it was a magical moment, like, for me as a comedian, as a filmmaker, like, to watch that.
I mean, so for me, I think with the podcast world, once people understand podcasts, like, I mean, there are people, I guess, who just would love them, who are scared of them.
Right.
They just don't know how to get it. They don't know what the world is. They don't know who's doing it, because it is a foreign world to them.
Yes.
So all I wanted to really say was, if people love podcasts, then supporting like a project like this is something where you can actually, you know, you're helping guarantee the future of podcasts. Because a movie like this, a documentary like this, it's going to get new ears on people's podcasts. It's going to get new attention to the industry.
That's the goal.
It's what we need. We need a circuit breaker as an industry to take it to the that next level. Maren did a lot of the, like, I mean, not just Maren, like,
sure,
but you know,
Joe
you
Rogan
guys,
and all
and
those
you guys,
guys
with the festival and like all these things. People have been doing a lot of like heavy lifting, and it's broken through a little bit into the public consciousness, but it needs like a moment to really go, this is what it is, and look at the connection that the fans have with it, and look at these fans.
Don't you want to be a part of this stories? Like, that's what we want to say in the film. I want, because to me, as a guy that's made a documentary and watched a million of them, the best documentaries are like all the ones you've listened to. It shows me about something I had no idea.
Right.
I did not know about. Like one of them, like I talk about this documentary a lot, Riding Giants. It's a surf documentary about big wave surfers. Now, I'm a surfer, so I obviously loved it. You don't have to be a surfer to watch that and go, holy shit, that's the history of surfing. These guys are riding 50-foot waves. And that's what I want this movie, which is called Earbuds, the podcasting documentary. It's, if you go into Kickstarter and search Earbuds, you'll find that. Or you can go to comedyfilmers.com and there's a banner ad to click through. So I want, like you just talked about, I want all these people that, all of the What's a Podcast people to watch this documentary and go, holy shit. I watch Aisha Tyler on that show on CBS every morning.
Right. You mean I can get an hour of her for free?
For free? And
that
she
takes me 2 seconds to download?
Yeah.
And she says whatever she wants?
Just on my phone?
Right.
Or I can just...
I can just carry it around with me and listen to it whenever I want?
Whenever I want.
So if like, I'm going for a walk in the morning, I can just listen to her being funny. Or if I'm on the train for 15 minutes, I can...
When I'm on the treadmill at the gym, I can just listen to it?
Yeah, yes. You just have it in your pocket.
That's what I want this
and
movie
And you don't
to do.
Just have one of them. You can have as many as you want.
How many do you want? Stop, start... But we're going on a long road trip.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Stock them up on your phone. I've had people say that. My husband and I drove across country. We listened to 10 episodes of Comedy Film Nerds. You know, and it's like, awesome. And so that's what we want this film to do. So
what is the end date for the...
February 24th. So we're coming up on it. We got a fair amount of way to go.
So tell me about like, because the thing about Kickstarter and stuff like that, because again, you know what? There's probably people listening to this who've never...
What's Kickstarter?
What's Kickstarter? Like, how does that work? What?
Yeah, Kickstarter is basically a crowdsourced, crowdfunded, you can fund anything on there.
Yeah.
Like we did the podcast festival. And so what you do is you donate, and we have all these donation tiers. And basically what we're doing is we're pre-selling, like for $25 you can get a download of the movie. Mm-hmm. For $50, you can get a DVD, autographed DVD. And then we just had some
sponsors. So, like, I mean, that's the thing. For $25, which is, just imagine, are you the sort of person that would go and see, like, this documentary when it came out?
Right.
Right? Well, basically what you're doing is just paying before.
Just buy now.
Just buy it now, which means it can get made.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too, because the crowd, Chris and I talked about this. We're like, one of the reasons why Kickstarter makes sense for this, I want the crowd to have ownership of this.
It is what it is.
The listeners need to have a hand in
this. Most podcasts exist because the listeners are involved with them, whether it's buying a t-shirt or like pushing a donation page or like clicking through to a, you know, Amazon link or whatever it is that helps out the podcast. Most of them are funded by and supported by the audience anyway. So this is just another way to be able to...
And we all have like, our theme song was made by a fan. Like everyone's like, our fan, every show I've been on is like a fan sent this in and now we use it or whatever. So I want them to get this. And we've also had some cool stuff. Some sponsors have come in. Tweaked Audio has come in and they're they've donated a bunch of earbuds. Mm-hmm. So like... For $75, you can get the DVD and an earbud, and they're a $25 value.
Yep.
So you're basically just buying stuff you would want.
And what about the other end? Like, because you must have some big, because you know, or like as much and Firstly, what I'm saying is everyone go out there and, you know, buy a ticket. And I'm going to mention something else in a minute, but we'll get to that towards the end of the podcast. But everyone go out and, like, at least, you know, pay your $25 for the basic minimum. But what's really going to help this project get funded by the 24th is that you need some of the big end things.
And
so what's up the top end? What can people...
10 grand.
Right.
And you're an executive producer on the film, and we'll fly you out for the podcast festival.
Well, and, see, that's exciting. Yeah. Like, if someone has 10 grand and you really love podcasts, plus you've always wanted to be an executive producer on a film.
Yeah, and people always ask us, and I say this on every interview, they're always like, but Graham, I don't have any experience being a producer on a film. You don't need to know. No one in Hollywood knows
Hollywood
either. They know what the fuck they're doing at all.
We're just going to give you the title. Like, you're a star.
Yeah. Like,
basically, you've been given a title like you're a star.
That's it.
Yeah.
And we will treat you like that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get your own coke and hookers. That's on you.
Right.
The project can't
find it. That's fine. If you've got $10,000 to drop on a podcast documentary, you've got money for coke and hookers.
Come on, guys. Let's be real.
In fact, take some of your coke and hookers money and send it towards the podcast. Just for that's what I'm saying. 1 week off the coke and hookers.
Just 1 week. Come on, do it. Help us out. So 10 grand gets you that. 5 grand, you're like an associate producer.
Uh-huh.
So obviously those tiers, like if we can get a handful of people coming in like that, right, it would be great. So
200,000, you get to direct it.
200. Yeah. I will step down as director.
500,000, you can make it about whatever you want. Doesn't even have to be about podcasting.
$1 million, you can murder me.
Right.
You can kill me as long as you make the movie and it's finished before you kill me. Closing credits at the premiere. Put one between my eyes. I'll die a happy man.
In memory of. Yeah.
Scrolls up, boom, boom, take me out. I'd love it.
I like the idea that you would be standing there and like they're doing it kind of like the final scene of Scrooge, you know, where Bill Murray's there and he's like mucking around with the credits and like you're standing there basking in the glow of the documentary and then it just comes up on the screen in memory of Graham Elwood and like the date that you died and you just look at it and then someone comes in and just pops you in the back
just
of the
boom.
Head.
Just you see like a red sniper laser on my forehead, just like pew, my head explodes on the screen, my brain's on the screen as my name goes. That's a beautiful moment.
And that is the shot they will use in the In Memoriam at the Oscars that year.
$1 million. You get to murder me in front of friends and family. Come on.
But if you don't have $1 million, there are other ways you can get in.
10 grand.
All right. Well, that was fantastic. I enjoyed it.
Thank
so please,
you.
I would love to get people involved. But here's how TOEFOP listeners can get involved. I would encourage people just to go and like get involved by themselves. But because I think that this project is good for podcasting, and I know that you've already had some other podcasts who've who've donated some money to the podcast, so I was like, well, how can we get involved here? So we're going to do something as well. So we were already bringing out a range. We do limited edition T-shirts on this because I've never done T-shirts and stuff for money or to make – I just like – people who like the show wanted something to have. So about every 3 months, we'll just put out a limited edition of 200 T-shirts and people can like, that's all there is. But so on February 14, it's the one year anniversary of FOFOP. So we will have done 1 year since we started doing the new podcast. And so I was thinking about doing something special for that. And James Fosdyke's done a drawing for us. It's a Guess Charlie number one. So it's basically, it's like Charlie's face on a mask being pulled off and Dave Anthony is underneath. And so we're going to do 200 of those. They're out on February 14. And if in the past there's been any indication, they normally sell out within 24 hours. We are going to donate all the money we make from those T-shirts to the to the doco. All of it, all the profit we make from those 200. But I'm also going to say this. If we sell them out in that first weekend, we will put on another, I don't know how many, but whatever we do, like, so, because it's always going to be 200. But if we sell out the 200 that weekend, then on the Monday, we will put in another order and we'll put that money in as well. So what I wanted to say to people is there might be people out there who want to help, but they want to like get something at the same time, right? So we've got these limited edition T-shirts. However many we sell, we'll give the profits to the... We'll
donate to Kickstarter.
Donate to the Kickstarter for the thing.
Dude.
So there we go. So people can get involved that way as
That's
well.
That's the coolest. Anyone listening, this is not I've just heard of this. He just told me this now. So that's the one of the coolest things anyone's
Well, done. You know what? The funny thing is I like doing the t-shirts just for the fans, but I like these ones are even better because I think it says to people out there, they're like, well, you know, there'd be enough people anyway who are like, yeah, well, I just want to be involved in that. That's a fun thing. But this time you're getting involved in it and you're helping not only this podcast, but you're helping podcasts in general. So anyway, they can find it at Kickstarter. It's called Earbuds, right?
Earbuds, a podcasting documentary.
Yeah. So, and of course they can find you, Comedy Film Nerds, your podcast. On pretty much every other podcast this week. Yeah,
if you listen to a podcast in February, I'm on it.
Right.
Or Chris.
Chris will be on the show next week, so we'll definitely update all those details and remind people of that as well next week when he's on. You're at Graham Elwood on Twitter, right? Mm-hmm.
GrahamElwood.com if you want my tour dates, if you're living in the States or whatever. And, you know, email a club wherever you live, if you want me to come headline, that always helps.
Does that help, do they?
Yeah, if enough fans do it, some certain club owners are going, hey, man, you got a lot of fans in this city. So I'm talking to you, Sydney and Brisbane.
I
want to go surfing.
I must admit that I am. Byron Bay is where you need to go. Yeah, there. Yeah. You need to play. If anyone's listening in Byron Bay,
all right.
I often have people like when I'm like promoting my American dates. I'll have some people go, "When are you coming to San Diego?" I'm like, "You have no idea how my career works." Yeah. I don't get to choose where I'm going.
I know.
I go wherever someone else pulled out.
Yeah.
When do I get to go to San Diego? When Kevin Pollak has another late-minute thing to do. That's when I get to go to San Diego. But, you know, if you email the club in San Diego, maybe that'll help. I will plug my tour dates. I am in San Francisco this weekend at Sketchfest. Particularly Thursday night, I'm doing a show with Dave Hill. And that's like just a split bill. So if you want to come and see me do like, you know, half an hour of stand-up, that's the show to go to. But on Friday night, I'm doing, I think, Prompter and Kurt Brunner's show. And on Saturday, I'm doing Setlist, which is an absolutely huge lineup of
show.
It's a great show. And Bobcat's on. And
Sketchfest is an awesome festival.
I've never been.
It's a lot of fun.
I've never done stand-up in San Fran at all.
You'll love it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it a lot. But if people could come to my show, that would be...
Come on out to Will's.
That would be fantastic. And my Australian tour is on sale. Adelaide starts really soon, March the 2nd. Willuminati, Brisbane. I'm only there for a week. Those Brisbane shows are really close to selling out. So if you're in Brisbane, I'll get in really quick for that. I'm in Melbourne for the month at the Comedy Theatre this year. And Sydney Comedy Festival, my Chatswood show is already sold out. We've added a second one, but that has to be the last one. And it's not until May, but the Enmore shows are over half sold out already. So if you want to come and see those shows, I think you'd have to get in. Don't wait until May is my point.
Get on it.
That's what I would say. But thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.